and elaborate a little bit on the references that Sam just read, coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, understanding the qualifications for servant leadership. Flowood Baptist Church has elected you, we've confirmed you, we've walked through the ordination process, and we believe that God has called you to fulfill this role and to fulfill it to the best of your ability for God's honor and to serve the Lord and to serve those around you. As many of you here this evening, some of you maybe are used to these ordination service. You're accustomed to that. I would like for you to think about three things is actually geared toward Jeremiah and his wife as they begin this journey. But I believe it's something that can be applied to each and every one of our lives if we are a believer and desire to live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to nominate individuals to be deacons. And oftentimes, we think it as an election year. Some of you know that this year is an election year. And sometimes we try to convince or try to show why one person is better qualified to be president, senator, governor, or whatever it may be. And sometimes the winner is not always the most qualified person, but the person who gets the most media coverage. In Flowood Baptist Church or any church, that is not how it's supposed to be when it comes to a fellowship of believers. I'm a firm believer that you are to vote according to biblical criteria and conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it is evident that our individuals here at this church have voted for four individuals to fill this role and for you to continue with the idea and the office of deacon. Most of the qualifications we'll look at this evening, as you have already read and been prepared to know much about, involve character rather than knowledge and skill. What God sees in you, how God sees you is what's most important. And as a deacon, a leader, overseer, elder, whatever word you want to use in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we must remember that personal character and spirituality should be the key issues when the time comes for us to select leaders. As a church, it is our responsibility not to vote for those who have been a deacon for a long time or have been in church for a long time, but those that show and understand what it means to have character and spirituality and live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Personally, as the pastor of this church, Jeremiah, I believe that you fit that role. I believe God's worked in your life over the last, I'm going to say, five or so plus years that I've personally seen your life from going, living from the flesh to now living for the Lord, and God's blessing you in that regard. Because when God calls men to serve his church, that's you and me, he looks for those whose heart is right with him, the one who's understanding what that means and is living a life that is more important than anything about personality or demeanor, but that of a spirituality. As you have read and you understand now, there are requirements, and they're a little bit more extensive for elders, someone like Barry or myself, who understands what it means to be a bishop or an overseer in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But this evening, I believe that you understand and know that there are great similarities from verses 8 through the end of the chapter of what God is calling you to do and the life that God is calling you to live. I want you to think about three things this evening. I'm not going to preach a long message because I believe the greatest thing of an ordination process is when you're sitting in that chair right there and these men are praying over you, asking God to lead you and direct you and guide you as you embark on this journey. But I want to give you three things to think about. Number one, beginning in verse 8, is simply a deacon's life. What it means to be a deacon, how you are called to live, what God is calling you to do, and the response that God is giving to you and the response that God has for you. The Bible says in verse 8 where it begins, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to wine, and not greedy of a filthy liquor." The list of responsibilities for those who serve the church in the office of deacon begins right there in verse 8. As I mentioned to you before, there are two offices in the New Testament church, which is the church age in which we are in today, that we can fulfill that 1 Timothy talks about. That is the pastor, the overseer, and the deacon. Like overseers, deacons are to be qualified. My senior quote when I graduated high school was, "God does not call the equipped, he equips the call." You're probably a tad overwhelmed, even though you don't show emotion much, a little bit nervous, and that's understandable. But I want you to know that if God calls you to it, he'll equip you to do the calling and the life that God has called you to do. When you study this particular word in the scripture, the word deacon is translated in the original text of diakonos, which simply means to be a humble servant. It's not to walk around that you have any power, as been mentioned to you a moment ago, to the charge from Toxie to you. It's not that you are more important than anyone else that's sitting in here necessarily in this congregation, but it's about understanding that title, understanding that definition, and living a life that shows you are a servant of the one true King, number one, and to his local church. As Sam read to you a moment ago, I'd like to emphasize a couple of those verses out of the book of Acts where the first deacons were called and they were appointed to assist the original apostles. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.' verse 4 in the same chapter, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In the local church today, your responsibility, and I believe it, is to relieve the pastor of the duties and those type of things so that we can concentrate on the ministry of the word of God and prayer and the spiritual growth and oversight of our church. I believe that we are in this together. I believe each and every one of those men that are sitting over there at this moment and those that are sitting in this congregation who understand what this means, understands that we are to walk alongside each other and understand that we are living a life that brings honor to glory to Jesus Christ. As you look in verses 8 and following, you'll see the Word of God gives a couple of stipulations of how you're supposed to live and how we are supposed to live. In the very beginning, tells us that the men are supposed to be men of dignity. A deacon must be worthy of respect of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, worthy of the respect of those that he walks alongside with, and worthy of respect of those that make up Flowood Baptist Church. A deacon should take his responsibilities seriously and serve and not just fill the office. You've heard me preach a couple of times, and I'll say it again. There's two types of deacon. There's a deacon who's called by God, and there's a deacon who understands what that means, and it looks good on a resume. Don't be B. Be the deacon who understands it's not about what people may say, but it's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you continue to read there in the following verses, 12 through 13, you will see that a deacon is not to be double-tongued, that you are to be what we call straight-laced, and you speak with integrity, you speak with consistency, and you speak with grace. You do not gossip. You do not listen to the he said or I heard. You can depend on what you say. I desire, as the pastor of this church, to be able to depend on what you say because it is honest and it is not hypocritical. As you continue to read there in those verses, you will see it talks about wine. It talks about drinking. It talks about those type of things. And most of us know the context there. I know that you do. The water was contaminated then, so they drank those things. And I'm a firm believer that no matter what you do in your life, there's three questions to ask yourself. Number one, is it going to hurt my witness? Is it going to hurt my witness by maybe taking this drink? I'm asking that you do not because of the office that you're in. But is it going to hurt my witness? Number two, is it going to make my weaker brother stumble? If I continue down this road or do this, is it going to make those around me struggle that maybe struggle with those type things in their life today? Finally, is it going to affect who I am in the long run? If you answer yes to any of those questions, don't do it. Not necessarily that the idea of drinking of wine or that of gossip or that of integrity or that of a dignity, but anything that you go through in your life, understand that God has called you to do this. People are watching you, and you are to live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. The priorities of a deacon. Something that I believe is very important for each and every one of you guys to remember, it is not to be centered on the accumulation of worldly wealth. It's not to be centered on the things that you have or the things that you possess or look at me, the things that I'm doing, but that of heavenly wealth, what God is calling us to do. In verse 9, it makes the statement, it says simply this, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. What does this mean? This points out to you and to me that your faith is to be that affirmed. Deacons must understand Christian doctrine. You must understand what God's word says. Obey it in a way that you're submitting your life to Jesus Christ day in and day out, and that you're making decisions every day of your life that are based on the word of God. Verse 10, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Let's be honest. None of us are blameless. None of us are perfect. We're not calling you to be perfect. We're calling you to be faithful. Not am I calling you to do so, but our God is calling you to do that. To be faithful in His sight, living a life that brings honor and glory to Him, and the men that include you are to be tested by life in the church, and you will see quick, fast, and in a hurry that your strength comes from the Lord. The second thing I want you to think about this evening, Julia, this is more towards you, a deacon's family, what that means, how we can understand what God is calling you to do. Verse 11 of 1 Timothy 3, Julia, take note. Even so much their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. I didn't mean to take note that you're guilty of these things, but I want you to listen to what I have to say here. What I want you to understand is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I'll let him down. Those guys will let him down. But you have to be faithful to your Lord, and you have to be faithful to your husband. If he's anything like me, he don't like to talk sometimes. Quite frankly, he don't want to hear you talk at times, let's be honest. But it's about being there, being faithful. As you continue to read there, you will see that a deacon's wife is a part of the ministry. I believe with all of my heart that whoever God calls in the ministry, the one who walks alongside him is very important. Some fulfill that role and understand that while others don't. It can make his job, his calling, much more difficult, or he can walk through it with the ease of life knowing that you're there. As you read that verse in verse 11, you will see that the wives are to be believers, are to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. The word used there is the translation of dignify, which is the same exact word used in verse 8. That your calling, the being dignified by the Lord, is the same that He is there. Women who are serious about ministry, serious about what your husband's called to do, serious about the mission of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and serious about the mission of this church, not giving a slanderous talk. When the time comes for a family, if that's God's will for your life, if that's His plan, Jeremiah, the way you lead your home will show and will allow us to see how you view the functionality of the church. If you lead your home well, I'm a firm believer that you'll lead the church well. Understanding that you guys are to come together to walk alongside this thing through life and to fulfill this ministry as you point people to Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is the final thing I want to leave you this evening, which is most important in my opinion, the deacon's reward. Verse 13, for they have used the office of deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Finally, at the conclusion of the list that God has for bishops, overseers, and that of deacons, is that as an offer of encouragement to serve well. Those deacons who serve well in their responsibilities in the church are gaining, which the idea is the present tense, for themselves an excellent standing before the Lord Himself. In other words, there is a reward for deacons who serve and not simply fill the office. God will step him up and promote him spiritually. You don't need my appreciation to a degree. You don't need my recognition. What you need is Jesus Christ recognizing you for the work that you're doing for His kingdom. As you do those things, as you work faithfully in the present tense, God will use you to do big things and give you greater opportunities to serve in ways that you probably could never imagine. Let's be honest. You never imagined yourself sitting here this evening 5 years ago. Your Christ-like spirit of selfless service is also what builds us up and binds us together in confidence in the reality of your own faith and understanding the acceptance before God. As you continue to grow, let's be honest, you're young. I've heard it numerous times. You'll probably hear it too. Just keep on trucking, my man. You'll be fine. The closer you grow to Christ in faith and not confidence, as you continue to mature, you will see that God's faithful through His Word, that God is faithful through these men who understand what it means to serve well, and these individuals walk alongside you. As we look at this and we understand what this is saying, Christ is looking for a few good men. I think about that movie, probably not a good illustration for this particular moment, but a few good men who are willing to serve, who understand and model the godly attitudes and actions that should mark all mature Christians. Jeremiah, I'll tell you, I'm transparent. You'd probably understand that by now. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be standing here, and I didn't think you'd be sitting right there. But God works. When nothing else makes sense, when you never can understand why, just simply know that it's God's hand working in your life, even though you might not can comprehend it. The call to be a deacon, if served correctly and wholeheartedly, is a wonderful call. I think each and every one of these individuals said it to you this afternoon, that it's a great calling to be a part of, a great ministry to fulfill as you continue to live a life for your Lord and Savior. The office and ministry, that of deacon, is like that of a pastor. It should be one of honor, one of dignity, and one of meaning. Your responsibility, along with mine and Barry's and Brother Keith, is to care for the flock. Take care of our church members. Walk alongside them as they are in the valleys. In response to servant leadership, the congregation, that is you, whether you're sitting here today or watching online, you are called to love, you are called to follow, and you are called to encourage and pray for those whom God has called to serve in this capacity. Jeremiah is only the beginning. You have 3 years that I know, as long as the Lord continues to allow you to do these things, to serve alongside myself and these guys, and I'm looking forward to serving you. At this time, I would like to ask you to make your way to that chair. If you'll sit there for just a moment. This is the greatest, in my opinion, thing about an ordination service, is the laying on of hands, as each man will have the opportunity to walk alongside you, to walk up to you, to pray for you as you embark on this journey. Church, if you're here this evening, I'm going to ask that you'll be praying in this time. He is young. He don't quite understand all of these things when it comes to deacon. That is his word. And he really don't understand the thought process of Baptist land. I'm kind of excited about that because he'll speak his mind. But I'm asking that you'll pray for him, that you'll ask for God to grant him the wisdom that he needs, and you'll pray for Julia as she walks alongside him during this time.